John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yeah, everybody's got that one or two family members that just seem a little bit off.
And we've got a story today about the creepy cousin that is stalking his cousin in the family, and nobody sees anything wrong with it.
Yeah, we'll dive into that on today's episode of My Crazy Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
My. Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts as well. And we'll even make it worth your while, right?
Yeah, we've got an opportunity for you to get in on a drawing for a $500 Amazon gift card. How do you do that? Well, you give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to podcasts. Give us a review. Take a screenshot of it and send that screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. Before the holiday season, we are going to draw a winner that gets a $500 Amazon gift card to use however you'd like.
Yeah, so send that screenshot, contest@crazyfampod.com. Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh, holiday season. It's weird to even think like that, isn't it?
I know. It's, yeah, my mind is blown, but we are upon it.
Yeah, we're getting close. I think this year for any present or anything like that, I just want gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a gift card so I can figure out what I want. Because anybody saying, what do you want for Christmas? I have no idea.
Sure.
I don't know.
I like to request strange things.
Do you? Like what?
Well, I've never really done it, but I'd like to, I think is how I should phrase that. Not I'd like to. I'd like to request strange things. I don't know. Just look for like really bizarre things. And when somebody asks, then you got it for you. Like, I want the As Seen on TV fry pan that also turns into a curling iron with the heat. You don't have hair. Oh, I know, but I'd like to curl my chest hair. Something like that. I think that would be a good, you know, I can make an omelet and curl my chest hair with that same product. But wait, there's more. If you call now, we'll give you a second fry pan for absolutely free.
Those are some great infomercials because these are like the perfect gift giving things because you can buy one for someone else and then you get one yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It does. Beautiful.
What do we got here in this story that involves mother and cash?
Yeah, and speaking of gift giving, my mother-in-law acts like she doesn't care about us. She did not come to our wedding. It was a 5-hour drive. We would have paid for the hotel, and she knew that. We've never gotten a congrats on our wedding or for our two children. She even would not come and help us when the husband asked her to, when he had to have back surgery. But that being said, my mother-in-law always gives us massive amounts of money for Christmas, and she gives it to my husband when I'm out of the room. No one says anything about it. When we're together, she gives us a few things. Last Christmas, in front of me, she gave him some socks and some stocking hangers for the mantle at our new house. But when we got in the car, my husband always tells me that she slipped him a wad of cash, and I just find that strange. They're not well off. Their house isn't worth over $30,000. They don't own a car worth more than $1,000, but she slips my husband $600 in cash. She gave him a $300 gift card to a toy store for our son. Plus, she sent our son a birthday card. His birthday is December 26th with $150 in it. He turned two. What does he need $150 for?
Put it in
the whole
thing
makes me just so uncomfortable. My husband makes at least three times as much as his parents. And one more thing, I just had a baby. No one said congrats to us, but we did get handed $200. So there's that.
Money is their love language, it sounds like.
Some people have food. They love to spoil people with food. Theirs is money.
Yeah, I think, it's interesting how some people function. The fact they seem to be active with them is a positive, somewhat. They may not go to things. Are they using money to make up for not going to things? Or do they go to other things of other family members, I guess, would be the other question. Are they just avoiding your stuff, or do they avoid pretty much all get-togethers whatsoever and just send everybody money? Because if that's the case, you're not being singled out. That's just how they communicate.
I have no problem with that. There are some family things I don't want to go to. I'd rather just send him a check and be like, here's your gift.
I prefer it in most cases, actually, where it's like, oh, I got to drive all that way for this or that. It's like, just send me a fucking check if you want. Or don't. I don't care. And I'll send you a check or whatever you want. Just, I don't want to go to this. So I don't know. But it's when it's your own child and you're not going to their wedding, no, that's not okay. That really, unless there's something going on that really prevents you from visiting, that's understandable, then okay, send the money. But if there's not, they're just like sitting at home that weekend barbecuing chicken. That's kind of selfish and weird.
I wonder if they have like some sort of a phobia of crowds or leaving the house or... that there's some mental illness going on here that they can't show emotion, or their congratulations is not something that's in their vocabulary. They just don't deal that way.
But they
understand there's a need that, hey, I need to somehow give you a gift. I'm not good at shopping. So here's $300.
Yeah. When they're at events, that's why I wish I could ask them these questions. It's like, well, when they're at events, when they actually do show up, when they have done that, which I'm assuming it's happened at some point in time, how are they? How do they act? Do they kind of keep to themselves? If they kind of do, that probably shows they're really kind of uncomfortable in those situations.
And I totally get it. Some people do not like being in social situations. This last weekend, I was at a birthday party. There were a bunch of toddlers there. And I don't do well around kids. And, with the whole COVID thing and the flu season and colds and sore throats and things, I don't want to be in a house with a bunch of toddlers. Sure. I spent most of the time out by the food in the garage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going in that house.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way. So those are a bunch of Petri dishes in that house.
So when someone said, hey, come in here, I want to show you something, you're like, I'm not going near those fucking kids.
I didn't have to say it. I stayed out in the garage, but I wasn't the only one. There were a couple of people that you could tell that they were just very uncomfortable. And I'm okay with that. And I wish more people would understand that, some of us are not ready to go in and hang out with 20 to 30 people in a house.
Sure.
We're just not ready yet.
I've never been ready. Even pre-COVID, I've never been ready to go hang out with 20 to 30 people in a house for any reason whatsoever. I'm not real big on social things unless it's people that I know well. And if it's not, if I'm going into a situation where I really don't know many people, I hate it because I'm not good at fruitless, bullshit conversation about weather.
Like, what have you been doing lately, Tony?
Because I will usually end up saying more than one would, I guess, socially acceptably. It's nothing anything bad, but it's like, how you doing? Well, I got it. I'll just start sharing.
I had hemorrhoids last week, and I'll be damned if I couldn't find that preparation H I was looking for.
Maybe not quite that far, but if I really want the person to go away from me, yes, then you can talk about that. But if you're just kind of like trying to have conversation, I mean, I can do it. It's like interviewing someone. I've gotten much better at it, but I don't like it because I feel like I'm being insincere because quite honestly, half the people you talk to, I don't give a fuck. I don't care who you are. I don't really want to know you. It's not that I don't like. It's just I don't care. I'm not anticipating meeting a bunch of new friends here. I don't really want a bunch of new friends. I'm good. My life is already busy as shit. So there's some cases where I'm okay, but a lot, I don't like being insincere to people, and I don't like people being insincere to me. So it's one of those things where I just feel so uncomfortable in those sort of situations, unless I know everyone there, then it's different.
Do you think some of that, because I can completely relate to what you're saying. And my reasoning is, back when I was in radio for so many years, we always had to be on. Mm-hmm. If we were out in public, if somebody recognized us, we had to be gracious and kind. And not that we weren't, but there are times where you're like, I just need to get some Super Plus tampons, and I really don't want to sit and chat about how much you love the show, because I'm having cramps right now and I'm out of tampons. Leave me the fuck alone, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just felt like I don't want to communicate with people.
I felt that way before radio. I felt that way as a kid. I've never matured, I think, in that way where I thought, oh, I'll get better at that. I can fake it. The person who showed me how to do that very well, and I don't think he fakes it, I think he's genuinely this way, is Dave, who was your co-host. He's fucking great in public.
Yeah, he is.
He's amazing at it. He's there and he makes everyone feel so special and good. And I've tried to fake it till I make it doing what he's done. Oh my God, it's exhausting. He can do 10 things a day and he's still hey, let's go have a beer or something and be completely cool. Me, I do one thing. I'm I need a fucking nap. It just drain. Even if it all went good, even if there's nothing weird, I am utterly drained by the time that's done. I feel obviously things. This is crazy. We talk for a living. Yes, but I'm in a room by myself talking to someone I've known for 20 plus years. So that's not weird to me. That feels comfortable and good. And it's the only time I really feel comfortable talking and sharing stuff is in a setting like that. But in public with a bunch of people, no, not so much.
And it's not only exhausting, like you said, it can be terrifying too, because I think we like to be in control of the conversation. We like to know where it's headed. And when you're dealing with somebody you don't know and you're face to face and they say something horrifying to you or something you don't agree with, you're on the spot. And for me, I do have social anxiety. I don't like to be around even family members at times. I would be content sitting in my room 8, 9, 10 hours a day and never communicating with anybody.
Exactly.
And it's crazy because others would describe me as a happy social person. Mm-hmm. It is a job for me to be that way.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It is. There's very few people that I'm around that actually make me feel relaxed. And when I'm there, this is great. I'm really good. My girlfriend, for example, and I know I'm the same for her, where we're both kind of like that, but together it's fresh air. But that's very few people that I ever feel that way about, where I'm I can just be me and it's cool.
Yeah. It's a wonderful feeling when you have that person that, you know what, I can be my introverted self and you're not looking at me like, what's your problem?
Exactly. And it's it takes a little bit to get used to, but it can happen. But yeah, it's a flaw, but it's who I am. Trust me, I've tried to work on it for 20 some years, not getting that much better at it. So I just kind of have accepted that I can do better at it now. I can fake it and nobody has any idea. Whereas years ago I couldn't, but I know deep down in me, that's probably not going to change. I think it's just kind of chemically how my body reacts to other human beings.
Yeah. Just embrace it. And you have, look at what you do for a living. Yeah. You're not, out in the public, trying to do customer service or anything like that. You are doing exactly what works for you. And that's what everybody should do. So, as far as the story, I feel for this person, but also give the in-laws a little grace that there might be something there that they just aren't good at communicating.
Yeah, I would say just see what that is and don't take everything personal on that sort of a front.
Absolutely. Our next story, it kind of creeps me out because I can't imagine if you've got somebody in your family like this. The story is, I have a cousin who is practically obsessed with trying to copy me at every move, every career goal, to a point where he applied to a company I worked at without telling me, where the company policy is that if you have a family member working, you have to disclose it which would have gotten me in trouble for looking like the person who was trying to hide it. Now he's at it again. Not only is he trying to find out every university I'm applying to from my parents so that he can do the same, he's asking me to send him my statement of purpose from my application. I have said no, but that doesn't stop him from trying to ask his mom to ask my mom. He also is stalking me on every possible social networking site. He's asked everyone who would remotely know about what I'm doing and everything else. I blocked his account on multiple accounts, and he creates a new one every time to try to follow me. I feel like there's no personal space left for me anymore. I tried talking to my parents about it, but they keep saying he's family and they don't respect me setting my boundaries.
That's spooky. And something where, okay, he's family. And your point is, that's where I'd say, you know, pull up a true crime website right now and go, look, all these people were family too. Mm-hmm. And it didn't stop that one from killing the other person that they were obsessed with, that everyone said, oh, it's family. Like, yeah. And now her spleen's gone because it was eaten by the crazy cousin that really liked her a bit too much. It's.
And what we don't know about this story, I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but I'm assuming the person who wrote to us is female.
Mm-hmm.
And this person has been referenced as male. So are we dealing with somebody who, you know, the female, if this is a female, is trying to set boundaries that I am very uncomfortable with this behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for help and I'm not getting any validation. This is going down a really bad path.
Like,
everybody.
Is there a sexual attraction with the crazy cousin to the female?
Right.
Yeah. I would say likely so. If there's, I mean, it's not just like, hey, I really, I look up to you for, you know, what you're doing with education. Like, there's a lot of family members that do that, where it's like, this person's doing really good in that area. And then someone's like, I want to be like that too. I want to learn how they do that. There's healthy ways of having like a mentor, but this doesn't sound like they want a mentor. It sounds like they want to be that person or be with that person however they can get there.
Yeah. And I've seen family members and families where like the cousins are extremely close and they hang out and they go party and they're inseparable. They're like sister and sister or brother and sister, and they just adore each other and they hang out all the time. That's one thing. You know, they mutually want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in this relationship is saying, I can't, this is too much. And I'm asking for help.
Yeah.
And nobody's providing it. And that is disturbing. The whole thing about, well, he's family. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
You need to step up and say, okay, let's take a look at this situation. And we need to talk to the parents, which would be a brother or sister. Mm-hmm. We need to talk to them and say, something is not right here. And we're very concerned.
Yeah.
And to not validate that for this person who has spoken up. And I mean, they said, I tried talking to my parents about it.
Mm-hmm.
You are telling this person that their feelings don't matter. And that's a lot of why we have material for this podcast, is because people are not being validated with their feelings.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lead to anywhere good. At some point, I mean, this person is feeling stalked. Something bad is coming down the pike here, just like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something brutal.
This story is like the first, you know, before the first commercial break of an episode of Dateline, where it's, you know,
yes,
like, we were just, you know, friends, some family, ask mom for help. Oh, it's okay. He's family. Or was he? And then add, and then it comes back. It's, yep. Yeah, it can go weird. It can go, and family doesn't mean safe all the time either. I don't know why people just assume, well, it's family, that this is always a great thing. If there's good people, sure. But someone's clearly acting out of turn here. I had a cousin, not a direct cousin, but distant, that it was always off. And I don't know any other way to put it, but I don't blame this individual, because they had a very bizarre upbringing from their parent. So naturally this person was going to end up being an adult that didn't have, you know, everything going right, in terms of thinking, because of the parenting. And yeah, sure enough, that's how it went. And this was years ago. I think it might have been like MySpace days even. And he was following me. And I at that time, you know, you're like, follow every person you ever knew. You're like, oh, this is amazing. Yep. Now we're all friends again. And started really like following everything I was doing. And we weren't close at all. Like I'd see them on like a holiday once every couple of years while we were kids. And always back then felt very weird. Like if we're in the shed or something, like is this person going to grab a hammer and hit me in the head with it very quickly to see what it's like to kill someone? You get that kind of feeling around this individual. Ew. Where like they're nice enough, but there's something off. And they just may be curious about what it's like if that garden hoe, you know, impaled your neck. And then they're found there and like, what happened? I just wanted to see what it was. But then started kind of following me and then like commenting on every single thing I did, like to ridiculous extents, like writing a paragraph or two. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I had just started a business as well. I was beginning my production company and getting it off the ground. And then suddenly he wanted to start a business and then wanted advice on how to do what I was doing. And I'm like, well, I've been doing voice work for like 20 years. It's not something that you just kind of jump into and start doing. It's like, you should find something that, you know, you're passionate about, that you're good at, that you know a lot about, and then go that direction. Don't just go where, you know, you see I'm being successful at it. Doesn't mean you're going to be. I mean, most people who dive into this aren't. And so I was kind, I was nice, but it just kept going and going. And then it kind of got a little testy at me. And then I don't remember why or what, but this person could kind of flip on a dime. Wouldn't be surprised if there's some bipolar going on there. And eventually I just stopped responding. And then I'd get these weird things like, oh, sorry, you must be too good to talk to me, or this or that. And I'm just like, actually, dude, I have 50 things going on with my life. I have a family. I have work. I have jobs. I have all this. I don't respond back to many people, quite honestly, unless it's like a pressing thing. I'm just busy. And because he'd ask 1,000 questions and you try to be as nice as you can and answer, but it just got weird and uncomfortable. And so it kept getting these like hateful messages towards me. And eventually I just blocked the dude. And then several months later, new Facebook account following me again. And it's like, and there was a couple times I had to like block and block and block. And I haven't talked to the individual in probably at least 20 years, but it was uncomfortable. It was a family member. I don't think there was anything quite like the dynamic of our story where there's anything sexual there, but it was a weird, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but if you ever feel like you're walking around with somebody and if they had the opportunity to grab a blunt object and hit you in the head with it, that's not a person you should be friends with.
No, my God, that's the making of our true crime podcast.
I've honestly always been waiting, and it sounds horrible, but I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in time, there's a story connected with the individual that is in the true crime realm of things.
Wow. So. Do you think you'll ever run into him at any family, like a funeral or anything?
Maybe a funeral. I could see a funeral of probably one person, but so maybe I'll see him one more time, but that's probably about it.
Yuck.
And I'm sure it's 20 years ago for the most part, but I think that I don't know that anybody, I mean, I just thought of it because we're talking about the story. Maybe they are still stewing on it. People like that tend to not forget shit. So who the hell knows?
Oh, that's very accurate that it's simmering somewhere in their brain.
Yeah.
And maybe things will just remind him and it just ratchets up a little bit more each time he thinks about it.
Yeah.
And you might be hearing from him. And who knows? Maybe he's listening to every podcast that you've ever made.
Wouldn't that be interesting? I'll suddenly get an email. Hey, I heard, like, what?
Were you talking about me?
No, it wasn't talking about you. It was someone on the other side of the family. Because notice I haven't said which side of the family. And so it really could be a lot of people. But it was weird. It was uncomfortable. But I have other cousins who feel the same way, where they've had similar experiences. And they had to do the blocking thing too, because it just kept going and it was uncomfortable and weird.
Again, this person doesn't know any boundaries.
It is. It's no boundaries. I almost feel bad for the person a bit, but at the same point, we're all adults now. He's got to be at least in his 30s. Sometimes you got, if it wasn't instilled in you and you realize that other people are kind of looking at you strange for how your actions are coming across, then you have to learn it. Then you have to say, maybe it's me. Maybe I am oblivious to some of these things, but let me learn what I'm doing wrong. And I'll learn this behavior if it's not naturally coming out of me, and it will make life so much easier. It may never be natural to you where it just kicks in and this is how you should react, but you can adapt. It's adapting. This is what we do in nature and in life. And just, you know, hopefully, I wish no ill on the individual, but I hope they get their shit together, but who knows?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, I'm creeped out.
Yeah.
So our next story, I love this story. I really do, because it's just a gotcha moment. My husband and I are estranged with my mother-in-law and father-in-law due to very abusive behavior. We live an hour and a half away from them. This morning, out of the blue, unannounced, they show up around 11 a.m. We just installed a doorbell camera, and boy, has it paid off. My father-in-law grabs our newspaper, shaking his head, and says that we didn't pick it up yet. We're lazy and probably still in bed. He throws it at the front door and then rings the doorbell with his back to the door. Then my mother-in-law inspects my flower garden. We had frost last night that killed my beautiful flowers. My mother-in-law says, "Oh, wow, look at this," pointing and laughing. She killed her flowers by overwatering them. Father-in-law says, "Ha ha," and rolls his eyes. Then she goes and inspects the rest of my garden. My father-in-law looks back to the door and says, "I don't know, they're not home or something. Let's just go." Then they continue to walk in the front yard looking at our stuff. I couldn't hear them once they left view of the video doorbell, but I could see them. They just left. I want them to know that I didn't kill my flowers, jackasses. And there's a lot of people that don't understand that when that camera is triggered, it records audio and video and stores it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sends a notification that it was triggered.
And here's the question. Do you ever confront that individual over that thing? Or will it end up putting more undue stress on you, because now things are going to be kind of awkward and they're likely not going to own up to it? They're going to be, "Well, that's not how I meant it. I just meant, look, she killed her flowers." Like, "Well, that's not really how you said it." "Well, I didn't mean anything else by it," because that's how that conversation will go. And it will be all played down, and they will make you look and feel like the crazy person, because that's what people like that tend to do. And you'll just be more frustrated. Is it worth it confronting over catching that sort of behavior? You know,
that's a really good question. I think there's a part of us that we want others to know that we've been done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a little power in confrontation, but then there's also consequences that, you know, they had mentioned that they had some very abusive behavior. They didn't detail what that behavior was. So there's a history here.
Sure.
I guess, you know, if there wasn't a history, I would absolutely maybe hint that, "Hey, just want you to know that we saw you were over. We have a video doorbell."
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And let them stew about, "Uh-oh, shit, did we say something about them?"
You're either going to get one of two things: a bunch of sucking up, or you're going to have nothing. Where they're not even aware that they said anything, because this is how they kind of operate all the time with each other. And you see that a lot. You see that a lot with, it's a negative thing, but sometimes you see that with couples where they're in such their own little negative cyclone of shit that wherever they kind of go as this joint cyclone together, they stir shit up left and right. Just kind of keep moving and keeps going. Eventually it might stir its way back around there again. but their combined feeding off of each other of look at this, judge that, just judging back and forth about everything and making assumptions that aren't accurate. But mm-hmm. in their mind, it is because one of them said it. So I think it ultimately comes down to like a lot of insecurity and jealousy where people are like, this person truly has a nicer home than me or a nicer that than me. And I don't want to accept that or admit that. So I'm going to tear everything I can down around them and insult things left and right and point out all the flaws left and right and make myself feel better about myself. It happens a lot. And it's not good. It's not healthy. But that's how some people seem to operate. And you have to just look out for it. And there's no arguing.
I totally see that.
You argue with them. It just goes nowhere. They're going to, you know, stand their ground forever and never admit any fault or apologize. And if you're going to have to see them on a regular basis, is it worth it? You know?
It's a really good question. I guess... just a word of advice to humanity out there. When we were in radio and we were around microphones, we had a saying that every mic is hot.
Yes.
And what does every mic is hot mean? It means if you are near a microphone, you always treat it as though it is live on air because buttons fail, people forget to turn them off. So always speak as though you are live on air because you never know when you are accidentally. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, we have a lot of hot mics. We have Ring doorbells. We have cell phones. We have security cameras. Every room you could be in has something recording. I mean, mm-hmm. check this out. Alexa. She just went, yes. mm-hmm. Everything is being recorded.
Yeah.
You are always being watched. And as much as you don't want to be, you are. So maybe it's time to start reeling in what you're saying about other people.
You'd think that all these ways that we are monitored today would end up creating better behavior.
Nope.
It hasn't. It really hasn't. I mean, some would argue that, you know, some extreme ends of things are going way too far to say how everyone should be behaving better. And at the end, it's like your way of doing this woke thing is like actually creating more diversity or not diversity, but more separation and more opposition than it's actually creating coming together. And it's just a weird thing. It just, I think the old thing of just don't be an asshole is a good way to live. And sometimes you'll fuck up or do something or say something. And if you do it, you apologize and say, yeah, I was stressed. I shouldn't have said that. I was just in a bad mood and, you know, whatever, make up a fucking excuse, but make sure it's authentic and real. And you can put some context behind it. The other person can go, well, it doesn't excuse the behavior, but I can understand it more. And everybody is in those places sometimes where they don't have to, you know, excuse it, but understand where I was at the moment and then have some, you know, understanding. I mean, I do that a lot with, you know, people in my life that frustrate the living shit out of me, but I love them. Mm-hmm. I have to look sometimes and go, especially look at parenting, look at who was the parents or lack thereof. And you go, okay, this person just didn't get these guides to life or understanding. And it never was really instilled in them to act this way or have boundaries this way. So they really don't know any better. Should they have learned them? Yes, without a doubt. But you can give a little more grace sometimes when sometimes people are truly not trying to ruin your life or be total assholes, but they're just wrapped up in their own self and their lack of self-worth. And you just kind of got to let it go because not everything is worth an argument or a come to Jesus or let's change this or change you. It's just have a little grace sometimes. I don't know what it's called for in this situation. I'd have to know more about the relationship. But if I had that happen, I don't think I would say anything. If more things escalated and amped up, then I would address it. But right now, I just think it would create more anxiety than it would heal.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I'd be pissed about, first of all, they showed up out of the blue and because we didn't go get the newspaper at 11 a.m. that somehow we're lazy and probably still in bed. Mm-hmm. if somebody is still in bed at 11 a.m., they may not have slept well the night before. I'm coming off of about a week and a half of insomnia. Mm-hmm. I finally slept last night for about 7 hours straight.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd been getting about 3 hours of sleep for the last week and a half. I thought I was going fucking crazy. So I don't need anybody criticizing me that I would be in bed until 11 a.m. You don't know what the fuck just happened. You don't know what's going on with somebody. Mm-hmm. So please don't judge that somebody not getting out of bed before 11 a.m. and grabbing their paper, that they're lazy.
Yeah.
So I'm a little defensive about that. Like I said, I'm you know, I've been sleep deprived and it can make you a little cranky and it's not for you to judge.
That's the problem. So many people just see the world through their own prism and don't ever look at through anybody else's. And so if they get up in the morning and they get their paper and they're reading it by 7 a.m. drinking coffee on the kitchen table because they've been doing it since 1954, great, more power to you. But you know what? That may be the best for you and how you like to do your day. But you know what? It's not the best for everybody else. And just let it be. There's so many things that don't need to be picked at or criticized or judged. There's plenty in this world that does need to be judged that isn't being judged.
Right.
So, but we tend to judge the stupidest things on people that really don't mean anything. It's like their life is different than yours. So accept that their routines are going to be different. Just because you do your routine this way doesn't mean it's the best for everyone else. And that's a bridge too far for many.
I guarantee that, you know, here we are sitting doing this podcast. There are people who think we're weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's sure. Fine.
Yeah.
Let it roll. But I'm not going to turn around and judge you. Well, like maybe I will. But, you know, you get to do whatever the fuck you want. And I get to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
And hopefully we aren't fighting with each other and our lifestyles aren't conflicting with each other. I mean, my neighbors, I can see their house right now from where I'm sitting. Our homes are very close together and they are absolutely lovely people. But I bet they look over at my family and go, God, they're weird. I guarantee it. But we get along really well,
yeah.
You know, and we coexist, but they get up at like 3 a.m. and go for walks at 3 a.m. And I think that's weird, mainly because I'm jealous of them that they have that kind of energy that they can get up at 3 a.m.
Sure.
I would love to fucking do that.
Yeah.
I bet on the reverse, not that they would ever do this, but they might look at us and go, wow, they're never out of their house walking. They never do anything, even though I do walk daily.
Mm-hmm.
They could sit and judge me, but they don't.
Sure.
You know, just let people live their fucking lives.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's so much easier in that sort of, you know, emotional state that we can be in where it's like, I really wish I could do that. But it's the easier out is to criticize them, find fault in what they're doing silently and not follow through with an idea or trying to work yourself to be able to do that. You can get you get your quick little, yeah, I'm okay, by judging and then moving on. Everybody does it. It's very human, but it's one of those things that when we can recognize that in ourselves, we can also break it in ourselves because we can say, I don't like thinking like that. And eventually you stop doing that and you're like, oh, I'm so much happier because this little bit of spite and angst that I was brought up with or has, you know, been so instilled in me, I'm not practicing that anymore. And it made me a happier, better person. Still not getting up at 3 for walks, but I'm not judging that either.
Exactly. I'm just so envious of anybody who can get up at 3 a.m. and they walk for miles.
Yeah. They're going to a cemetery and they're taking bodies out of the ground and making lampshades.
No.
You are in Ed Gein country. There's probably a relative. And if you walk into their house, you probably got a couch made of flesh.
No.
Just
they
saying.
Are lovely people and they're very fit and in shape. And I wish that I had that.
Takes a lot of work. Have you fucking tried to pull something that's dead? I had pigs. I had pigs that died and tried to move them. I can't imagine being a fucking murderer and moving a body around.
Oh my God. Do you know which podcast we're on right now? It's not the true crime one.
I know.
Oh God. People are weird. People are just weird. Families are weird. People are weird. It's amazing that we can ex- even exist on planet Earth together. And, well, and we're not doing very well.
Yeah, we'll see
how we're managing.
We'll see how much longer that lasts.
No shit.
There's plenty of outs that are seemingly ahead of us, so we'll see where the missiles fall and go from there. Or my thought the other day when they were trying to bounce the asteroid off course to test it, I'm like, okay, so they think they know what they're doing because they've never done this before. So yes, we're playing a game of we think we know what we're doing. Plenty of things we thought we knew what we were doing that don't quite work out. So what if, yeah, this thing's not on course for Earth, but guess what? You just bounced it towards Earth.
Well, no shit. I mean, you know, they have an idea of the trajectory once they hit it,
yeah,
but they don't know for sure.
No. I mean, I think it's an interesting experiment. I'm assuming the odds of it being bounced towards us were fairly slim. And I guess it's good to have the technology there. Should we see something like that coming at us someday that we do need to knock off course? Cool. Or my other thought, if we're going to the conspiracy route of shit, are they trying to set us up for this? Like, look, we can do this now. And they're going to make us all freak out and think there's something heading towards us and use it for another way to try and control people. And then nothing really happens. We knocked it out of the path. And thank God for the wonderful government that does everything correctly.
There's your conspiracy theory for the day, huh?
I don't know. I question everything now. I don't know. I find it interesting. I think NASA's real. I've always been interested in what they do. But yeah, I mean, I think it's probably nothing. But there's your conspiracy for it.
By the way, if you haven't gone to Google yet and typed in NASA DART, so the word NASA and then D-A-R-T.
Yeah.
You should do that.
I'll do it right now. I can't imagine. Is it like bring up a porn site or something?
No, it's not naughty.
NASA DART.
Because it was the double asteroid redirection test.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's neat.
Isn't that fun?
They animated the page and tilted it. So like
they did. So, yep.
Wow.
There's a whole bunch of those little Google quirks.
Yeah, little Easter eggs in there.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Well,
there's your fun for the day.
That was fun. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. We want to hear your crazy family stories. You can write in at crazyfampod.com or call in toll free 833-CRAY-FAM. That's 833-272-9326, 833-272-9326 to share your crazy family story with us. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My
crazy
family.
Family.
My
crazy
family.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.